discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Guess who's back? Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Big episode of The Man Show on tonight. Had to squeeze that in.
Which one?
I don't know.
Big one. Winner.
Sunday night, though. They're all winners. That's how I know it. They're like my children.
Yes.
They're like my 26 children that I get each year.
Just let me know when the Manulout's on.
Masculout?
Masculout, excuse me.
The detergent, especially formulated to remove protein stains?
Male protein stains.
Male protein?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know when Masculine's on. That's why you got to watch every week. Well, I'm just back from New York. I was...
Did you go down to Ground Zero?
Yes, I did go down to Ground Zero.
Did you get a tour of it or just walk down there?
No, I just went down as far as I could get down, which was pretty far down, actually.
Yeah, you can get way down there, yeah.
About 5 blocks away, and not... 5 blocks the way you would picture them in your neighborhood.
Sure.
They're very short. Each block's probably a couple hundred feet. So it's, 200 yards away kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, the thing that's, besides how massive the thing is, and what it looks like color-wise, Jimmy said to me, wow, there's a lot of wood in that World Trade Center, he says. And I was getting prepared for an argument, because he can argue anything, as you know. What it is I said, no, there's not a drop of wood in there. That's just rust and cement.
Cement.
Charred stuff. But from the distance you're looking at, it looks like a huge pile. The only thing you can liken it to, in a way, is like when the timber industry does a bunch of clear cutting and they put everything down, the flume down the river, and it gets piles up or something.
But the pile's like 8 stories high. Right?
I know, but from where you're standing, you can't even see around it. You can just see the front of it.
That's right.
And it's daunting. And the other thing that's amazing about the thing is it's still burning.
Yeah, still. Did you go at night?
No, I did not go at night.
I went at night, and that smoke coming off at night with the lights on it, it looks like, like a movie set.
Yeah, it really is what movies are made of. With all it's like mood lighting with the haze coming off. It's as if someone's pumping it in. But I was there 2 days ago, and it's been a few weeks plus, and smoke's pouring out of that thing. I mean, it's
isn't that amazing?
It's not on fire, but it is still
hot,
still smoldering. There's material that is burning, and it's weird because. So much of that building is concrete and steel and glass.
Yeah, like what's burning? Yeah.
And drywall.
Yeah.
Gypsum.
Is it melting?
Acoustic ceiling tiles and aluminum tracks and, grease and cables. And it's like, what is still burning down there?
Yeah.
And, there's a couple of things you figure out from these sort of things, which is when fire gets hot enough, everything burns at a certain point.
That's right.
Steel I-beams obviously begin to burn at a certain point, and that may be part of it. But anyway, very sobering being down at Ground Zero a couple days ago, or at least as close as I could. Left early this morning, 6 a.m., from my hotel in New York.
Which is 3 a.m. Pacific time.
Good thing I went out and partied and drank like a fish last night. And got to the airport 3 hours early. Was upset to find out that no booze served in New York before noon.
Uh-oh.
Did not know this.
Uh-oh.
I am going to have to start traveling with a flask. Because let me tell you, especially since, Drew, you'll back me up. I used to get stewed on the flight before the whole terrorist scare.
Oh, yeah.
Now I embalm myself before, they have to roll me onto the plane. I'm using the vomit bag before the plane starts moving.
Nice. Good times.
But listen, am I right? I mean, come on. You're flying out of JFK. You think you're just going to sit there with 3 cups of coffee like a bear claw?
I did.
You go insane.
I did it last week, it's an eerie feeling you get on that United 767, which is what I did.
I was on American 767.
Yeah, I thought, oh boy.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, it was nice.
I went to sleep.
Yeah, you went to bed, but I need a Bloody Mary. So no booze before noon in New York, which I didn't know about. And I don't know if it's new. And you always hear them bragging about, you always hear New York bragging. Because they go, we serve booze till 4, and you pussies only serve it till 2. But I'd like to come back with, hey, buddy, our bars open at 7 when bars should open. You got a big 5 hours. Anderson is saying 6 now. Is it 6? That's right. 6 a.m. our bars open. Full 6 hours you got to wait in New York to get yourself a snort. So that was bad. But wait a minute.
What?
8?
They gotta wait 8 hours.
No, no. Our bars open at 6.
Yeah, but those goes 4 a.m.
All right, too. Right. What I'm saying is I meant a full 6 past when yes, ours open yeah. and a full 8 after yours close. So eat my shorts, New York. We got 2 hours on you.
You have to call Giuliani on this one.
Yeah. And but the good news is somehow the plane is like international waters. Because the second I got on the plane, I ordered the Bloody Mary, and here came the Bloody Mary.
Right.
And I thought to myself, well, we're still in New York, aren't we? We're on the ground, for Christ's sake. As a matter of fact, I'm 20 feet away from the place I was trying to get a drink from when I was inside the airport.
Maritime law.
So anyway, I had a few. I had Jim Brown, legendary Hall of Fame running back, sitting behind me.
Wow.
In the plane. Yeah.
Did you recognize him right away?
Yeah, no sleeves and the koofy hat. Yeah, Jim Brown dresses like...
Jim Brown.
He's a Jim Brown action figure. You know these guys, you think they put a look on for the sports shows right. or for the talk shows?
No.
Oh, no.
That's him.
Jim Brown dresses like Jim Brown. It's like it's a new uniform for him.
Yeah.
Sleeveless, all in black, wearing the koofy hat. A weird little sort of African... It's a little bigger than a yarmulke, a little smaller than a top hat. And he's sitting back there. Had a uncomfortable conversation with him.
About what?
Well, when we landed in L.A., there was a bomb threat in the airport at LAX today, which was great because our plane landed like a half hour early. And by the way, anyone who's ever flown, you see what happens to whatever time, whatever that margin of time is that you land early, see how that is eaten up before you get into the airport. Right. It always gets eaten up.
Right.
Because
waiting for somebody to pull out of the gate.
Out of the thousand times I've flown, yeah. I've landed 10 times. I've landed early, and they're always bragging about it. Well, it looks like we're going to be on the ground about 15 minutes early. And we thought, we're supposed to come in at 11:55, but we're going to be touching down about 11:25. So it's about a half. They're always bragging, but then you get on the ground, and now you burn it on the ground because they go, "Well, we got here a little bit early, so the gate's not ready." It's like, yeah, no ass. We're early. Yeah, I don't care if it's in the air. I guess now we get to just sit on the tarmac. So we sat out on the tarmac for about 15 minutes. The gate opened up. We pulled into the gate, and now there's a bomb threat on our side of the airport in the terminal, and nobody can get off the plane because the bomb squad's going through the airplane, going through the terminal. And so they figured it'd be safer in the plane.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there stewing because now my early arrival's gone out the window. We sit there for about an hour. They finally connect the jetway, and they open the door, but we still ain't going nowhere. So I say to Jim Brown, who's standing behind me holding his hat to shake case, "Jim, I know you're Hall of Famer and you're used to carrying the ball, but you got a few pounds on me. I'd like you to leave, and I'll go in behind you. And I need you to be essentially my fullback."
Right.
And when the... gate guy comes up, he's probably one of these gay ticket guys, you lay into him like he's an inside linebacker, he's trying to step up and fill the hole, and I'll cut off your block, and I'll go like OJ through the airport. And he's like really serious, and he goes, "I don't block. I run the ball. When I played, that was the deal it was, and that's the deal it is now." You know these guys who are so goddamn serious about themselves that they can never even F around, even with some scrawny white dude who played a little high school ball and is trapped on a plane with them? Like, even that they can't risk screwing around with?
Yeah.
And I came back one more time. I said, "Yeah, but you're bigger. My wheels are probably better than yours right now. Why don't you just throw that block, and I'll cut right off in it. I carry the ball." For a minute, I thought we were actually playing. I got caught up into it.
You're in the huddle.
I was in the huddle. I started audibilizing at that point. All right, so let's get ourselves onto the phone and
here we go.
Talk to Kim, who's 15. Kim?
Oh, my God. Am I on there?
You are.
Oh, my God. Adam?
Kim?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Adam, I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed you, Adam.
Get in line behind Jim Brown, baby.
You missed him?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Why?
Okay. Can I just say something real quick? I think you two are like really cool, and you know, Striker, he's cool, but he's no Adam.
No, that's okay. True.
Well, then you welcomed Adam back. That's nice.
Thank you.
No, no one else mentioned anything like that, please.
Now, what's up?
Shut up, Corolla, hairy bastard.
Okay, yeah. My question is, today, I thought I had an orgasm, but I'm not sure.
Well, what happened?
Okay, I was in the shower, right? And I was just fooling around and stuff, and then it was like, all of a sudden, I had the whole handheld thingy, right? And I had it there for probably like a minute, and I just felt like a big rush.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, I just got, like, felt hella, like, jello-y or something. And then for a second, I couldn't breathe.
There you go. That about does it.
There you go.
Really?
Good time.
Yep. Enjoy it. You'll never experience it with a man.
Well, not for many years.
Okay, I have another real quick question.
Hold on, Drew.
Yeah.
I don't know how your house is outfitted. I do know you probably have 5-6 bathrooms in that palace, and I don't know how many of them have the handheld shower things, but I suggest...
I don't compete with that. Took
I'm
them all
saying
out.
Camp them
yeah.
and remove
They're
them.
They're gone.
Good man.
No. That's a man cannot compete with
can
that.
Can only be trouble. That's right. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, okay. My other question was, when are you going to have Alien Ant Farm on your show again?
Soon.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Any estimates, Anne? No.
I don't know.
Alien Ant, well, she knows. So they're coming. Hold on a second. When? Well, let's say it so we can all
the
hear it.
The 30th.
The 30th of October?
That's what we're trying for.
30th of October. There you go, Kim.
I'll tell you, when I have a young daughter and she starts getting puberty, I'm going to take all the running water out of the house and just put a well pump, an actual hand pump.
No, that's when you want them to be in the shower. Stay in the shower. Just keep them in the shower. Put sprayers all over the place.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Then
it'll simonize.
Put the extended hose on it so they can make it to school but not to the boyfriend's house.
Exactly. Well, that's
all right. You may be right. That's a good point. Laura?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah. Hi.
What's up?
I called like August the 2nd or 6th.
Hold on, let me check my registry here. Yes. You
Laura, August the 6th.
Guy who took your virginity, it says here. Right.
All right.
Well, you tried for an update, and I didn't have the phone that night, and I haven't really had a chance to call except for last week, but Adam wasn't there.
All right.
It's not the same.
All right, what's the update tonight?
Well, haven't touched liquor since. Had the chances a million times. Found a 21-year-old friend who's offered to buy me tequila, but I'm like, no. And can't seek the professional help because we lost our insurance and we're flat broke.
Weren't you saying, this is going to be a stretch, but that you couldn't say no? Wasn't that your thing?
For what?
That if a guy approached you, you had trouble saying no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Let me also make this observation. The people who pronounce insurance are half as likely to be insured.
Oh, my data says less than half.
Oh, less than half?
Yeah.
I got to check my book.
My mom's the only one with the job with the benefits, and she lost her job.
Mm. All right. So where's that leave us?
That leaves us with you not drinking, and you understanding that drinking is making you or helping you make bad choices, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, also is a bad sign. And you're also trying not to sort of give in to the pressure these guys are giving you. You understand where it's coming from a little bit, right?
I tried.
Do you feel better about yourself when you don't do it?
Oh, sort of.
Well, here's the deal.
I've only been able to say no once, and all them other times I couldn't.
Okay, yeah. But you're getting a grip on yourself slowly, right?
Sort of, yeah.
And you're not going to have... the best care money can buy because you don't have any insurance, you don't have any money, right?
Nope.
So you're going to have to rely a lot on yourself. And I know Drew doesn't like this kind of talk because it means guys like him are out of work.
Hey, listen, wait.
Go ahead.
12-step is an option that's out there, too, and it's free, and it puts guys like me out of work, and I think it's a great option for people.
Fine.
But you give the rest of the work. Advice.
Well, I just mean this is going to be tougher for you than it may be for a lot of people that have other means at their disposal, resources at their disposal. So you're going to have to really discipline yourself. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah. You said I'm getting a grip. I'm getting a grip on one thing, but I'm losing it on others.
Where are you getting? You're getting the grip on the alcohol.
Yeah.
Where are you losing it?
I dropped out of school, getting my GED.
Yeah.
I got to take 5 tests before the end of December because 2002 they're making the GEDs twice as hard.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
I have no chance.
All right.
Of passing. If
all right. Well, what do you want to do? You want to get a job?
No.
What do you want? Don't you have to get a job?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Get a job.
Well, it's kind of hard. See, the only place they'll hire a teenager is fast food and groceries.
What do you want to do? Yeah. What do you want to do, Laura?
Would you like
what's your plan?
Like the ambassador to Albania or something? You're 17, for Christ's sake. You've got a fourth grade education.
What's your plan?
Well, it was to become a lawyer. And really, I don't have one because I switch like every week. But
okay.
I've had the same plan since about fifth grade in the back of my head. Just no one likes it. So.
What's the plan?
I'm told I'll make a very good stripper.
Mm. You've had that stripper plan since the fifth grade?
Well, I wanted to live on the bunny ranch.
You want to be a prostitute?
Well, I can't say no. I might as well get paid for it.
Yeah.
Mm,
interesting.
Mm.
I wanted to be a stripper about the fifth grade, and then the ass hair kicked in, and I realized...
That was it.
Yeah.
You didn't have the goods.
I had to pursue my other dream with pirate astronaut, as you know. Hey, Laura?
Yeah?
Okay, baby. Come on now. Don't punch so many holes in your life that
there's no way to
patch them by the time you're 20.
Well, I don't want to live to be 25.
Why?
Life sucks.
Well, hold on. Let me straighten this out. Are you talking about going from 24 to 26 and skipping 25, or are you talking about dying?
Dying.
Ooh, that's different.
I don't want kids. I suck at relationships.
You don't want kids?
No.
Good. All right. Good.
My mom says they're going to turn out just like me, and I'm taking that statement to heart.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to. Listen, Laura, here's the deal. Don't look so far down the road. Don't look about when you want to die. Don't look about how many kids you do or don't want to have. Stop looking so far down the road. I hate to sound like a bumper sticker, but take it one day at a time here.
And also, Laura, when people have had severe traumas in their life, which obviously you've had, one of the side effects of that, even if it's like being in a plane crash, when you've had traumas, your brain naturally foreshortens your view of the future. People, if you talk to people who've been through major traumas, they will expect that they're going to die young. They'll anticipate that. So, I mean, you don't specifically sound depressed, though I'm sure you are. This business of wanting to die at 25 and all, I don't really consider necessarily suicidal, but more of your foreshortening views of the future because of the severe traumas you've been through. And those post-traumatic stress reactions can be treated. You don't have to ruin your life because of the trauma of the past.
All right. Don't get pregnant. I know you don't want to. I know you don't want kids, but somehow that's not connected with not getting pregnant, unfortunately.
They had another one of those fairs out here in Southern California for, like...
The gays?
Holistic medicine and animal rights, and it was, like, the third thing, all in one place. I thought to myself, what is up with those people?
Just drop some napalm on those...
But, I mean, there's so many things going on right
huggers.
Now.
Tree huggers.
I mean, yeah. I mean, these poor kids and the world. I can't understand it. Can't that business wash out and people start reprioritizing a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. There's something horribly flawed with everyone who likes animals too much, as you know. Yes. Yes, you are. And it goes everywhere from sort of lonely to just maniacal and everything in between. But anyway, look, it's good to like animals.
Wait, no.
It's not good to love animals too much.
Let's not pick those people out.
Yeah, I'm going to pick those people out.
But let's talk about people who sort of have campaigns about issues that are specifically about them and their lives and their experiences of life.
Right. They go wacko because you're wearing a leather belt.
Forget the animal people.
I'm not done with the animal people.
It's chronic fatigue, right? The other one you like.
Yeah. Okay, listen. Here's the point that Drew's trying to make, and he may not be trying to make this point, but this is my point, so I'm going to make it anyway. I've been saving my points for almost a week.
I know. It's tough for you.
As long as there's human beings on the planet, like young Laura over here, who's in a world of hurt, she should take priority over any animal. That's the way I look at it.
All right.
If you love animals so much, the human is the first animal you got to take care of. Ironically, the people that do the most for animals seem to have a certain disdain for human beings because they look at human beings as the ones who enslave these animals and devour these animals and use these animals for them.
Yeah, have a point. But be that as it may.
Yeah, that's true.
Be that as it may, I think it's more that people need to find their sort of connection with some meaning in life, you know, some spiritual, some transcendence, connection with other people, some meaning
right.
outside of looking for the right herb to make me feel better.
Well, listen, you know, I was watching 60 Minutes tonight, and they had a whole thing on the Muslim religion. And they had a couple of guys who were speaking on it. You know, the thing that's funny about whenever they talk to the clerics and the higher-ups in the Muslim religion, you know, it's always like, it always reminds me of,
Love and Death, Woody Allen.
No, no. Forget what it reminds me of. It's always the same speech, which is, what these people did was horrible and should not be forgiven. But you must understand, you know, it's like, oh, really? America with its oppressive nature and its foreign policy. It's like, oh, okay, now you're saying it wasn't a bad idea. Almost every one of them comes out with this. It really gives me the creeps. But here's the deal: I was listening to these Muslim guys talk, and there's a billion Muslims, and they're literally talking about, you know, the Quran and Allah and all this, and they're saying, you know, what these terrorists did was a bizarre interpretation of the Quran
about?
And here's how it goes, and really what it is you lead a good life, and then when you die, you go to a place where there's virgins, and you eat dates, and it's a better, you know, you go somewhere, that you live your life, and I thought, hey, is it, you live in a mansion where the street's paved with gold? And then I thought, listen, all you religious nut jobs, it doesn't bother you at all that they all have the same theme? That every religion says, you die, and guess what? There's a payday. So just mind your P's and Q's while you're down here on Earth, and grind that crappy existence out, and further your religious cause, and then you'll die, and that's the payday. And I thought, it doesn't make people a little suspicious about that? That these guys on another part of the world and another part of the planet with a religion that's a billion years old have the exact same thing that we have, which is be good to your brother, don't hurt anybody, take care of everybody, and then when you die, you get to go to this place. Now, they have substituted virgins and date fruit because that's a part of the world they're from. And we have our own version of virgins in date fruit. It's more like Graceland, more like Elvis's place, you know, with the shag carpet and everything. We have the Western interpretation of that, but it's the same place, and it's the same guy. And that doesn't make everyone think for just a second. I mean, how is it that we all stumbled onto the same notion? Well, I think it's human nature. Mm. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Bernice, who's 17. Her right breast has been hurting for 2 weeks. She needs meds or drugs. We'll talk to her after this.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Let's get back to phones and speak to Bernice.
Yeah?
Bernice, you're 17.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I want to know, cause my right boob's been hurting, and I want to know what's up.
Your right what?
Boob.
Boob.
Anything coming out of it or anything like that?
No.
Is there a tender spot?
No.
Is your period coming up?
No.
Are you on the birth control pill?
No.
No shot, birth control shots or anything like that?
No.
How big is it?
It's a D.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Is it the same size as the other one?
Yeah.
Two D's, huh?
Yep.
Does that make you double D, or is... No, that's still just D, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, how big's the rest of you?
5'5", 135.
Sweet. Not even going to do the radio math. I'm in that kind of forgiving mood tonight, Drew. Just happy to be back with the kids.
Well, Bernice, the most common thing to cause tenderness is cysts. And you want to have a doctor look at it and examine it to make sure that it is just a cyst, but that's probably all it is. There can be infections, and there can be other things that can certainly cause it, but it's very common for there to be tenderness in and around the time of the period.
You know, one thing I learned from traveling to New York and trying to go through airport security over there in New York, the thing about, you want to know the difference between New York and L.A.? I figured out that we both have many different cultures in New York and L.A. I mean, it's a real
melting pot,
real grab bag. And the difference between L.A. and New York, and you tell me if this rings true to you at all, Drew, is in L.A. we have many different nationalities, but they realize that they have an accent and that people don't understand them sometimes.
Right.
They talk a little slower.
Right.
They're almost apologetic when they talk.
No.
And they try to use their hands a lot. New York, there's people, crazy accents. But they don't acknowledge it. And it's weird. It's everything from cab drivers to the security at the airport.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you run into some guy in the street here, and he's like a Mexican guy, and he doesn't speak good English, he'll let you know it. He won't act like he does.
Yeah.
Going through the metal detector with the arms out,
sure.
The Jesus crucifix type stage. They actually had a wooden cross there that they nailed you to,
nice.
While the guy went over you with the wand.
That's good.
And I had this little woman, she was like from somewhere deep in Jamaica, and she was like 5 feet tall, and I was putting my hands in, and she was like, "Daddy!" And I was like, "Pardon me?" And her saying it twice meant she was angry the second time she said it. She thought I was not complying or being sassy. I couldn't understand a goddamn word she was saying. She was like, "Ta-da-da!" And I was like, "Pardon? Ta-da-da!" You know, she's like yelling now. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. Ta-da-da! And like, turn around? Yes! Like, turn around, you know, and then she wanted me to, like, back it around. I couldn't understand a mother effing word she was saying, but the point is, in her mind, she was speaking the Queen's English,
right.
and there was no, like, all I was some guy who was being belligerent because I wasn't complying with her demands, and I thought, in L.A., they know they have accents.
Yes.
New York, I don't think they do.
Not so much the guy behind
Not the airport guys.
The airport guys and the guy behind the dark window at the gas station.
No, yeah. They know they have accents. They just don't care, and they don't like you. That's different. Cindy?
Cindy?
Yes?
You're 19. What's up?
Oh, hi. Okay, since I was 14 years old, I've had, like, a constant long-term relationship. I've had about 3 consecutive ones, and I'm 19 now, and I'm finally single and on my own. And it's kind of scary because I don't really know how guys work when they're dating, you know, so I'm getting wrong signals or something. And
what do you mean? Give us an example of how you got a wrong signal.
Well, let's say I meet some guy somewhere, right, and we're going out, we're having a good time, and, you know, I guess it's just because I have this image that all guys want is sex, because I listen to you guys, and that's pretty much what you're telling us, you know.
Hang on a second. Let's stop right there.
Okay.
Adam, is that about accurate?
I would like to qualify and say, yes, it is. The guys who you young, attractive women are interested in, yes, all those guys, yes. But if the dorky guy you don't want to date, ironically, he's not only interested in sex, he has other interests. You know what I mean? Like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that. But he would be the slowest moving of all the guys. But
right.
You're not interested in him.
Right.
So, yes, for all practical purposes.
Okay, so I'm kind of scared. I don't want to get hurt. You know, I don't want to end up...
Well, you're in the you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, but I've never been in the driver's seat before, you know, and nobody taught me how to drive.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to seem insensitive, but this is always a stupid conversation. You've had a boyfriend... A few since you were 14?
Four.
They've all been over a year relationship.
But you've been with four relationships with four men.
You know what guys...
By the age of 19.
You know what guys are about.
You know enough. There's no general overall discussion we got to give you. You have more experience at 19 than most women do. I would say I'd say someone who's been in four long-term relationships by the age of 19 probably knows her way around the ropes better than someone who's dated.
Yeah, but you know, she's worried about not being able to understand the sort of rituals of dating, and you'll learn that soon enough. In the meantime, just follow your instincts, what you're interested in, just don't rush things along, and don't cave in to demands from guys. Just keep dating until you feel comfortable.
There you go. Jennifer?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, when me and my boyfriend when we've had sex twice, he's ejaculated without knowing it or feeling it at all. So
no, wait a minute. Without feeling it starting up, or he had something come?
He doesn't feel it at all when he comes. Like, he doesn't know. Okay, like when he's like climaxing, he'll pull out and he'll be like, oh, okay, whatever, and then we'll just like sit there and relax, and all of a sudden it'll just like. Come like gushing out like all over. I'll be like, oh my god.
Yeah, but he feels that.
He doesn't feel it at all. He's like, and he looks down. And he's like, I mean, oops.
Hang on a second.
She used the S word, so we got to go ahead and dump that. Anderson's upset. But Jennifer, see, that sounded like a legitimate slip of the S word, so I'll forgive her. It's my people's Sabbath, you know, Sunday night.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So he has no sensation when he has an orgasm.
No, this, I mean, he does, but just, like, it's happened twice.
Now, Jennifer, wait a minute. You're going to have to be very clear about this. He feels like he's starting to go.
Uh-huh. So when he's about to climax.
So he stops because he doesn't want to climax, right?
Right. He doesn't want to.
Okay, but inside or... but it happens anyway.
Yeah.
But he has a climax.
And then he pulls out, and then it just starts coming out, and he's like, he doesn't feel it. He doesn't know it.
Wait a minute, Jennifer.
Let me yell at her. I just said he has a climax, but he has no sensation, and you said no, he feels it. But he doesn't feel it at all. All right, well then shut up and agree with me. I said he has the climax, but he has no sensation. No feeling.
Right.
Okay.
He's not aware that he's climaxing.
I've got to keep going around and around five times on this show.
I still don't think that's right.
No.
He's not aware that he's starting to climax.
No, he has the... No, that's... You got stuck on that this time last year, and you've hung on to it like a pit bull.
All right, so
a curtain.
So things... He has rhythmic contractions when semen comes out.
Uh-huh.
But no experience. His brain is disconnected from that entirely.
Right.
It doesn't feel good to him.
Okay, it's really hard to explain. It's harder than I think.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Hey, Jennifer, do me a favor, and I want to explain this and give this out to all the listeners. Sometimes we speak in blacks and whites on this show, and we have to, like when I say, but he has no sensation. He may have 10% or 15%. I don't want to get caught up on that. If he has a little bit,
no
will still suffice.
I know what she's talking about. She is being wacky in the way she's describing it.
What is she saying?
Where's she living?
Because I'm going to come over there in
San Francisco.
Whack her one.
He gets to the verge of climax. He stops in an attempt to not climax.
But then it just comes out
and
anyway. Pow,
it happens.
Huh?
Okay. And see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He has a climax. He feels a climax. It just, he can't control it.
Does it feel good to him?
Yeah, but then he stops, and then he pulls out. And then he thinks that he stopped climaxing, and then we'll just lay there, and maybe like 1 minute later, it'll all come out.
And he won't feel it.
And he won't feel it when it comes out.
Okay.
He won't even know until I tell him that it's...
Okay, but he had a climax prior to that.
Yeah, and
it's just the semen doesn't all come out yet.
Right.
So
it's clear when it comes out too.
Oh, it's dribbling out.
It
feels good to him when he has an orgasm.
Yeah.
He just has a lot of after
retard. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care. Go to the gynecologist. Talk to somebody who's got time. I don't have time for people who cannot express themselves in any meaningful fashion. 10 minutes with that witch. Driving me nuts. Look, the guy does what every goddamn 18-year-old guy does in the world. He's banging away. He pulls out, and he can't get the timing down. This is why the rhythm method does not work.
That's right. Exactly right. And or he ejaculates, has a climax, and then there's some stuff that flows out afterwards, too.
Yeah, he gets that little post-jizz drip going.
Yeah. He may have a big version of that, a lot of it. Who knows?
Right. Okay, this guy has no control over his penis.
That's the bottom line.
That's why you should be on birth control, Einstein, and he should have a condom going.
Yep.
Okay, that's it. And as far as him working that out, that's something you guys can work out together, and he may not ever master it. And I'll tell you something. You know how some guys can't swing a baseball bat too good?
Right.
And that don't change a whole lot from 15 to 40, to 45 to 50. Some guys can't swing a dork too good. And I don't know why we all think that's going to be better. Do you know what I'm saying? How come certain guys, you play basketball with some guys,
they
can hang on the rim, and other guys can't touch the net,
right?
And they're the same height?
Right.
How does that work? The same way your penis doesn't work. Same way you can do, same way. You know those guys who can do a really good Cockney accent or good French accent?
Yeah.
And you can barely speak English?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Don't know. But same with your penis, everybody. You can work on a little bit, but not that much. That's why you got to wear the condom. Brandon?
Yeah, that's me.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah. Basically, my friend called me the other night, and she was just freaking out. And she told me that my friend was going to be running away. He's going to go sometime this week and pawn off all his stuff after his parents leave for work. And then he's just going to take off and go down to California with two other friends.
How old is he?
He's 16.
What's going on in his home that it's got to get away?
Well, he just moved here from Vancouver. He was here before. He moved there for about a half a year. And then he just, he came back here this summer.
What is going on in his home that he needs to run away?
Hold on a second. A little love line there.
Okay.
A little love line recreation.
What is going on in his home that he needs to run away?
He used to live in Vancouver. Then he came down here with his parents.
What is going on in his home that makes him need
I
to
told run? You he lived in Vancouver, you idiot. Brandon?
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
All right. Okay. Why I told you that is because he hates it here now. He just, it's his home. I don't think there's anything really wrong there. But we live in a...
Yeah, Brandon, teenagers run away when there's abuse in the home. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's why they run away. So I'm going to give you a hotline you can call, and they can give you some specific recommendations.
Well, hold on. Let Brandon grab a pen or pencil.
All right.
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm half with you in that there could be... He could miss his home and his old friends or whatever.
He's not going back to Vancouver, though, right?
No, he's plans on running to California.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
Could you talk him into Arizona? I mean, we got enough jackoffs running around here, quite honestly. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tell him, and I'm serious, an apartment in a halfway decent neighborhood in L.A. is $1,000 a month, all right?
Okay.
Meanwhile, Tucson, he can get himself a palace for $650 a month. Yeah, am I right, Drew? Am I right?
Yeah, he can live for $150 a month in Tucson. Easy.
It's too much. Your nut is way too big here in L.A. Understand? And it's a life of gay porn. I did it. Drew did it. We all do it.
But most don't get out.
Right. I did some gay porn in the late 70s.
Here's the number. It's 800.
Okay.
422-4453. I think you may have to go through Child Protective Services to really get something going here, but it means something really substantial is going on in the home.
All right, maybe. You're a good guy, Brandon. Take care of him.
Yeah.
And Drew, let me say this. I know you always talk about wholesale abuse going on the home front whenever there's a runaway. I agree with you. But I'm gonna say a couple of things.
There are always exceptions to everything.
Big difference between 12, 13, and 16, 17. A, number one, this guy may be 16, 17.
Yeah.
And B, number two, once in a while, and it's not often, but you run into those Janis Joplin types who aren't being physically abused, but they just got this like crazy hit the road thing.
She had a mess at home.
Yeah, she didn't have a mess at home.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Addict parents, sure.
No.
Oh yeah.
Look into it.
I know the
story.
She's a heroin addict, Jennifer.
I know she is.
You don't. That doesn't come out of nowhere.
That can't.
No.
Listen. You don't think you can? You don't think in 1967, when you're in that in the midst of that scene, doing that you can get strung out on something?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But you have to get the gene first from somewhere, and the gene comes from the alcoholic parent.
But let me ask you: do you need the gene for heroin?
Oh, absolutely.
Why? Yeah.
Because if you don't have the gene, I give you heroin, I can make you dependent on it.
But then that's what I mean.
But then when it comes time to stop, you just stop. It's no big deal.
Why am I smarter than you when you're a doctor?
This was first studied in Vietnam when a bunch of soldiers came back dependent on morphine, and a bunch of them just stopped, and their addicts kept going. The addicts have the continuation gene. That's the part of the non-addict. That's why people
Right, but you can...
I can make you addicted to morphine after surgery, accidentally, and then non-addict will stop. The addict will
but
keep going.
You can find the addict gene in any family if you want to trace it back. If you're looking for it, you can find it.
It needs to be within two generations.
It doesn't mean that there was abuse going on in the family.
Means she had an alcoholic parent, but whether or not that was abusive or not.
Listen, I know her whole rant.
All right, you
and it
tell
wasn't
her.
It,
all right,
it wasn't a great, I'm sure there were better childhoods, but she had that I'm getting out.
Yeah.
And I'm getting out early, and I'm saying that some people have that.
Yeah.
And maybe more men than women, I don't know. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hello. Who is this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline.
Hey, y'all, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Eating a big sack of nuts over here.
You're home.
Let's talk to Dave, who's 16. Dave?
I have a problem with my English teacher. She's one of those stereotypical type of 50-year-old teachers, you know, weird and old. My problem is that I suspect she may have something with me or for me.
Why?
Well, you know, she's awfully nice to me, and some of the time she keeps me after class and asks rather personal questions.
You like, ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Like what? Give me an example of one of the questions.
Well, like, you know, for example, one day she came after class, and we had a like big project due next day, and she said, what are you doing tonight? Do you need any help or anything like that?
Do you need help? The temerity. Can you imagine that? A teacher asking if you need help? Shocking.
All right, so maybe she's interested in it.
No, I don't believe it. Hang on.
No, but I mean really that it's not just like regular help. I mean, sometimes when I raise my hand at, for her to check my paper or something like that, most of the time she puts her hand on my shoulder. And,
all right. Well,
she's one of those really odd types.
All right, well, how much longer you got with her? Where are we?
The whole year, because she's an English teacher. And I
okay. All right, suck it up.
And she doesn't do that to anyone else?
Here's what I'm, at least my choice is, it's either to confront her, talk to the principal, or try to avoid her. I'm saying that if I confront her, she's probably going to deny it, and, you know, and then I'll look like a fool.
Is anyone else noticing this?
Excuse me?
Is this just going on in your head, or is anyone else saying, gee, it's her uncomfortable?
I think it's only me, because oftentimes she I never see her asking, like, you know...
No, I'm not saying does she do this to any other people. I'm saying to other peers.
Hold on. How many times have I warned you about talking to the callers?
I know, it's awful.
It's always... It always backfires.
But I have to.
Listen, Dave...
I'm compelled to.
Yeah.
Let me give you some options. You can talk to her. She'll deny it. You can talk to the principal, and she'll deny it. And you can make things really uncomfortable and weird. So, here's what you do. Just keep a low profile. Just suck it up.
Don't be alone with her.
Okay. And if she says you need any help with that, you tell her, no thanks, I'm good. And you leave. If she gets really aggressive,
then
you say, listen, I don't want to turn this into a scene, so let's just leave it at this. And she'll back off.
You pull together some witnesses, too. You let other people sort of see.
But,
you know, listen, if there was something going on, he's 16 in 10th grade, 11th grade, you think everyone in that class wouldn't be aware of it? I mean, they'd be all over it if they saw even anything, a hint of something weird.
Well, that may be still a possibility. He just misinterpreted your question.
Yeah.
But anyway, it falls under the who cares category. And I know there's a double standard here for men and women. And, yeah, there is. There's a difference between a male doing this to a female classmate, but still, or not classmate, but student, but still, I haven't gotten anything. Do you need any help? I'm putting my hand on your shoulder while I'm looking over your paper.
Right, there's nothing really here.
Not a real big deal. And I'm sure he could crush her like a ball of tinfoil if he had to, so big deal. Renee?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Just kind of concerned because... I was sexually molested when I was a child, and I think that it's kind of stayed with me. I've tried to, you know, put it in the back, and I've always tried to live my life not worrying about that and go on about it.
Who sexually molested you?
Someone in my family.
Your brother?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. Somebody told me I should start working that in again last night at
a
party. Yeah.
I feel like I've always had issues in my relationships. I've had two serious relationships.
Makes sense, right?
And
you've not dealt with this. You've just pushed it away.
It's not that. It's just I kind of don't want to live my whole life, you know, crying about something that happened. That, you know, crying over spilled milk. Basically, I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to live the rest of my life letting that affect me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there are ways of doing it though without detaching from it the way you have. And then that's what you need help doing. You need some therapy for that so it doesn't affect your ability to have relationships. You'll be a good old victim. You'll find abusive guys. You'll have problems with hyper.
And to be honest with you, I've had wonderful boyfriends.
You'll have a tendency to be either hyper or hyposexual, too much or too little.
Yes, very much so. And it's actually very hard because the relationship that I've been in now, we've been together for 3 years. And, you know, he's 23, too, so he's actually, you know, he's young and he's healthy male who obviously wants a relationship, you know, where we can be close in that way. And we are, but it's very, it's very few you know, times that we do.
All right, so Renee,
it takes them a long time to get me going, and you know, and I'm not saying it's not great. It's great, but it's very hard for me to.
All right, hold on.
Say, okay, let's do it.
Slow down there, rap star.
Okay.
You got a rap going.
Okay.
Look, you're bound and determined not to let this affect your life. Yet it's taken over.
Right.
In your personal relationship, so you get a little therapy and you work on it. If you're determined for something not to take over your life, it's like Drew was just telling me he needed a root canal. I'm going to do it for him during the commercial. But you don't want your tooth to take over your life? Go to the dentist.
Right.
Saying I'm not going to think about it and I'm not going to let it take over my life, therefore I'm not going to the dentist. Now that's when it takes over your life. Every time you chew, it takes over your life.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so you got to go have it. You need a nice crappy day at the dentist, maybe two, and then it won't take over your life. Ironically,
that's right.
And substitute dentist with shrink, and that's what you need to do, Renee. And we'll take a break.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, y'all, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. All right, I'm getting close to hitting that wall there, Drew.
No, you're not.
I really am.
Oh, that's right, because you, yeah. Okay.
Went to bed at 2,
yeah.
Got up at 5:30, and it's all been a blur.
All right.
And it's,
you'll be all right.
3 hours later
now,
for me.
This is that time when another hour after, a 36-hour stretch, 1 hour sort of not a meaningful period of time.
Oh, don't worry, kids. I'll be there for you.
All right.
Sarah?
Yes?
You're 23. What's up?
Hello. How are you?
I'm tired, but but I'm hanging tough.
So now, is this hurting me?
Is what hurting you?
Eating cum.
Is eating cum hurting him?
Yes.
Well,
hurting her?
Is it hurting her?
Yeah, hurting me.
Is it damaging her? I imagine her.
No, I don't goggle it.
Her spirit might be impaired by it.
You want to do it on a plane, you have to do it with a plastic spoon. I figured that out in the last few weeks.
No, it's even more bizarre. You get sometimes metal utensils but a plastic knife.
I've had that too. Yeah. No, I don't believe it hurts you unless it's infected semen.
And, okay. Yeah, it's a good way to get sexually transmitted disease. It's a way to get sexually transmitted diseases. And I was up at Cal State Sacramento. This guy stood up and said that his girlfriend had been told by his mom that would give her a sore throat because she'd gotten a sore throat. And her mom went, you know what that's from?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what a strategy.
Smart.
I'm going for that with my daughter and the fact, Sarah, that semen is loaded with calories.
That's right.
2,000 calories per teaspoon.
Liquid fudge.
Is it really?
Oh, no. Just loaded with calories.
Now listen, how much of this are you taking in?
I don't know. Maybe like a tablespoon, maybe a tablespoon and a half.
From the same guy?
Huh?
From the same guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean per sitting.
How about per week?
Per week?
Oh, I mean, how often are you doing this?
How many times a week?
Maybe 4 or 5 times a week.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And hey, what's wrong with just spitting it into the toilet?
Because he likes me to eat it.
Eating it?
Yes.
So somehow that description, I find it even more offensive.
Yeah. How's Sir Walter Raleigh over there? Is he treating you right?
Yeah.
Okay, he's a good guy?
Yeah.
What's he do for a living?
He's a manager.
Restaurant manager?
No.
Store manager.
Store manager.
Yeah.
What kind of store?
A grocery store.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
All right. And you're doing okay?
Uh-huh.
You're not pregnant?
Oh, no.
Hell no.
No.
You drink it all.
Yeah.
You got any kids?
And that definitely can't get me pregnant.
That's correct. Any children?
Yeah, I have one.
Oh.
Where's daddy?
In a different... town.
I see.
Yeah.
He didn't work out?
Uh-uh.
Okay. How you doing with the kid?
Really good.
Okay. Is this guy becoming daddy?
Oh, no.
Oh, no?
No.
Do you understand what he's asking? You shouldn't bring...
Not right now, at least.
You shouldn't bring him into your child's life unless he's going to be around for at least 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Okay,
good times. Yeah. Bottoms up.
Bon appetit.
To your health. Mazel tov.
I drink to that.
It's L'chaim.
I mean, L'chaim, yes. Nadine?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah, Adam.
What's
up? You know what? I've always respected you and worshipped you.
Why?
Thanks.
No.
That's enough. Hey, look, she said what she had to say. Let's just move on. She said respect and worship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine, right?
It's highly suspect.
All right. Yes?
Okay. Well, I've become really upset with you lately, though. And just the things you've been saying about Middle Eastern people.
I know, because I've been on such a rampage the last week.
You know, I know, you know, you've been saying, you were saying earlier, like they keep saying the same thing on the TV and everything, and they're upset. It seems like a lot of people are saying the same exact thing, you know, everyone's saying it. And you just, you're like, when you were saying it, it just sounded like you were trying to say that the Middle Eastern people don't seem to really care what's happening. Or, you know what, I know a lot of Middle Eastern people are really upset what happened, and they're hurt by it, and they don't, you know, they don't agree with any of those, what those people
say. Let's repeat what you actually said.
Huh?
He's going to repeat what he actually said, which was they condemn what happened. Because I heard him say it, too.
I never said the Middle Eastern people.
No, you said the clergy, the Muslim clergy, you said.
Yes.
You said Muslim clergy said that they condemn what happened universally.
Then slide into that, but you have to understand the way this part of the world views America.
Not all of them hates America.
Nadine?
Yeah.
That's all he said.
That's what I said.
He said that the Muslim clergy, he saw in 60 Minutes, each said that they universally condemn what happened. They're not supportive. It's a misappropriation of the Quran and whatnot. But they also qualified it as you people need to understand how you're viewed.
Right.
He's all saying,
that's it. That's all he said. No, that's all he said. That's it.
He said all the...
That is all he said.
Let her finish. Go ahead.
You know, you were just saying that, they keep saying the same thing, like... Yeah, you're all mad, like they don't mean it or something like that.
No, that's all he said.
No, I did have that tone.
Really?
Yeah.
I just heard you say the clergy.
I didn't say the Middle Eastern people ever.
You said the clergy.
I mean, you were pretty much saying it in other words, though. You were, you know, directing it to them.
No, I was talking about the clergy.
That you'd seen on TV.
Yeah, that I'd seen on 60 Minutes.
Tonight,
yes.
Yeah. Which is all he referred to. And this is what's dangerous about this situation. You can't personalize everything that's being said because we'll all end up hating each other. You have to look at things. Everyone has to be tolerant. Do you harbor any ill feelings about anyone, really?
No.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
Listen, it really is. I said it earlier, a few weeks ago, and they brought it up again tonight. Like, do you feel that most Catholics have any relationship with the screwballs that bomb the abortion clinics? And no, you don't even count them as one of your own.
Right.
And it's the same thing with the Muslim extremists
who do
this sort of terrorist activity. I'm aware of that.
What gave him what he said, though, gave him the heebie-jeebies, because there's a political piece of this that we're all trying to struggle, which is we're perceived by a certain part of the world in a way that it's hard for us to understand.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make sense of that. And trying to do right by that, frankly. I think our government is trying to.
These are individual acts. These aren't one certain race.
Yeah, but what's difficult about this is that we keep hearing from people in the Middle East that there is some bad feeling about this country, and we're trying to understand why that is and what that is and how we can make that better.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who hate America, but there's a lot of Middle Eastern people who love it, you know? And they're not the bad people that the media... makes them look like most of the time.
I think the media has been trying pretty hard.
Very hard.
I agree, but some things
there you go.
Some, you know, times they make them look really bad.
Well, it's bound to happen, yeah, but and obviously it's going to happen. And I don't think you can avoid that, but I also would argue that they've been trying very hard to be even-handed about things.
Yeah.
All right, so what other problems do you have?
What do you mean? You
doing okay otherwise?
I was kind of right with that whole thing, though.
I've been depressed since the whole thing.
You've been what? Depressed?
Yeah, really about, everything.
Why? How come?
I worry a lot because just, everything that's happening.
Are you worried about what's going to happen in your life? Or?
Yeah, I've become really depressed.
Do you find that, now you're 10th grade, 11th grade?
I'm 11th grade.
Do you find that a lot of people your age are having the same kinds of feelings?
I think so, yeah.
Is it because you're worried about a draft or worried about your safety? And what does it look like to you?
I don't know. I think I'm just worried about my safety and the world. I just worry about what's going to happen. And I get sick to my stomach. I don't, want to even go out.
Were you prone to anxiety before this all happened?
No. Well, kind of.
But not so bad.
Not so bad. I was doing pretty okay after, mm-hmm.
Are you worried about people singling you out because of your race?
Well, no, because people don't think I'm my race. So, I mean.
But it's an interesting point. A friend of mine, who's one of the smartest guys I know, we were talking about, trying to assess our risk and live our life accordingly and not be stupid and not also be overreactive about it. And he was talking about his, worrying about, having enough water. And then he said, I have to worry about being attacked by Americans. By what? He goes, I'm going to Tucson or Tempe next week and some redneck. He looks kind of. He just looks a little bit darker, Shan.
Who's
worried.
That, Marcel?
No.
Yeah, he's with all the gold. could easily be not mistaken, isn't there?
But the point is that there are Americans that have an extra added layer of concern about the rest of it. If your skin's a little darker than everybody else, it's ridiculous. Like, hey, don't get too tan.
Yeah, well, that is true. I mean, I think a lot of Arab Americans have to worry about it coming from both ends. They have to worry about being in the wrong place at the wrong time, just like we do in terms of a terrorist attack. And then they got to worry about being at the wrong place at the wrong time.
But it's not even Arab. It's like Italian Americans. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Your Royal Highness.
You're so precious. So precious. No, but I realize people are stoned and it's late and have difficulty following the show. But what I wanted to say is they have to worry about being in the wrong place at the wrong time and having a pickup truck full of rednecks coming after mm-hmm. them, too. Which we don't really have to worry about.
Well, you might. I mean,
unless you fall off out of the pickup truck and hurt yourself.
But the point being, you don't have the Middle Eastern to worry about that. You know, you could be just a little darker. Just a little darker. That's all you need.
Well, what do you mean? Like what? Give me a nationality.
Italian.
No, because Italian could talk his way out of it. start throwing around like paisan. you see what I'm saying? Thank you. All right. Let's talk to Kelsey, who's 22. Kelsey?
Hi, guys.
Uh-oh.
Please try to be a little bit patient with me.
Why?
I know that you do get very frustrated with some of your callers that are a little flighty.
Okay. What's making you have difficulty?
I'm just really shy right now.
Okay.
You guys are so inspiring. Okay. Here's my problem.
She graced it properly. See, Adam, it's
Thank
fine.
You.
He's good.
Okay, my problem here is that I've been dating the same guy for about 3 years now. We had a very active sex life in the beginning of our relationship after we grew close. And, it was pretty much like we were like rabbits, okay? Mm-hmm. His father was killed in a car accident a couple years ago. He was a drunk driver, and ever since that, his, sexual performance has pretty much been non-existent.
So 2 years of, what, erectile dysfunction?
It's just pretty much any kind of,
He's just not into sex at all, not interested in sex?
It's almost like he can be, but then he can't really quite, the intimacy just doesn't really last,
All right, is he on antidepressant medicine?
He's been in therapy, and they've discussed their issues, but it just doesn't really seem to have a large...
Is he on medication?
He was actually on Prozac for about a year.
All right, well, that'll shut you down pretty good.
So but he hasn't been on it for a while because he just honestly was pessimistic about it and said it wasn't really helping him as far as, the constant obsessing thoughts that he was having over it. He was really close with his father.
How old is he?
He's 23. And so, his mother died when he was about 3 or 4 years old. Really close to his father.
All right, but it also resurrects all that old stuff about mom, too.
So you're saying... And this is going to be, it's always difficult. You're saying he does not have any erectile problems.
It's more so he cannot have an orgasm, I would say, as opposed to just not being able to, become aroused. He can become aroused, but it's like he's so withdrawn just so quickly. It's almost like a on-off switch,
No.
So he has erections, just no orgasm.
There are even times that he's been drinking, and it'll naturally bring out almost...
Has he got an alcohol problem?
No. I just mean...
All right. But just to make sure we're on the same page, he has the erections.
He has libido, he has erections.
At times. yeah, at times he will have.
Hold on. She said she asked us to be kind to her.
I know, but that's why I'm going to go number two.
Right now?
And I'll be back about 15 minutes.
No, go about 5 minutes. Give me about 5 minutes with her.
You think you'll find out whether he has an erection problem or not?
I think it's sort of a general feeling of disconnect.
Okay.
Let's give it that.
All right. Well, why don't you dump him?
Oh, no. We're very close.
Okay.
But you're not very close anymore.
No, actually, we are, but it's not sexual at all.
Okay. Mm. Well, he's been off.
We're together, but he just can't seem to come through.
What do you think a Viagra pill would do for him?
Well, hopefully it would keep his mind in. Something that would keep his mind on the intimacy would be good.
Yeah, why don't, Drew, what do you think? Is he a candidate?
That's a reasonable thing.
I mean, maybe the guy needs to prime the pump a little bit. Maybe he needs a good outing under his belt.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Viagra will not make him more interested in sex. It will just make his penis hard and stay that way.
Thus, more interested
like
in sex.
He'll get hard and then he becomes distracted.
He'll still be just as distracted, but he'll stay hard. He won't go down. And the other thing is, it sounds like he really needs some treatment. He is not being properly treated, it seems to me. Here he was on Prozac for a long time. It didn't work. No one adjusted it. He was having sexual dysfunction from it. No one addressed that. He's been 2 years obsessing and grieving in a pathological way. He needs treatment. He's seriously depressed. And that needs to be treated. Yes, the therapy is great, but it sounds like there's something more that needs to be done here. And I suspect he's resisting it.
All right. Waldo.
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued because it said race team partner is a deadbeat.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
I knew you would be. Actually, because you're the one I wanted to talk to, but I wanted to say hi to Dr. Drew. You guys are the long.
Hey, Waldo, what's up?
What it is like...
Turn your radio down there, Waldo.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. That's
what it is like... Like, last year, I came on to the team. He had this race team. We raced down to Orangeville in San Bernardino. And I came on.
Hey, Waldo?
Yeah.
Turn the radio down.
All right. Now you got to hang on for a little while, Waldo.
All right.
You understand? We asked once, and it didn't get accomplished. So we're just going to have
not even at all. You notice that? It was the same volume in the background as before.
Well, here's the fantasy. Here's the deal, everybody. When we say turn the radio down, it's not like we got tipped off or we're playing a hunch. You understand the reason. I'm going to sound like an angry Bill Cosby here. You understand the reason we tell you to turn the goddamn radio down is because we can hear the goddamn radio. So if you just say, hold on, walk over to the radio and mime moving the knob and then come back, it's not like we're your parents and we say brush your teeth and you wet the toothbrush down and then put it back in the holder. We actually know it's still on for the same reason we knew it was on the first time, which is we can hear it. You guys all, now that we understand the math on
back
that,
in the holder,
we actually know it's still on for the same reason we knew it was on.
That's what we hear.
Which is we can hear it. Thank you. All right, Waldo. We'll give you a second chance.
All right.
Okay.
How's that? Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead.
He asked me to come on last year to be his crew chief on his team.
What kind of race team?
We raced down to Orange Show in San Bernardino in the Pony Stock Division.
Race in the Pony Stock Division.
Yeah.
Which is some form of stock car?
They're four panels, a four-cylinder class. We're circle track races. We're NASCAR affiliated.
Uh-huh.
We race for NASCAR points, just like the big boys.
Open wheel?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What
kind of engines you run?
The 2.3, four-cylinder.
Yeah. What are they, like Pinto engines?
Yeah, they're Pinto engines, basically.
How do I know so goddamn much about cars? It kills me how much I know about cars.
Wow!
Single overhead cam?
Yeah.
Oh, genius.
Solid lifter. We're running the solid lifter on the 2.3 now.
All right, go ahead.
But... So, telling me, he heard through... You know,
got twin side draft Webers or McCoonies?
No, we're just running the stock intake with the Holley two-barrel three.
No, oh, man. Well, you're making all of 150 horsepower.
Yeah, that's what we're restricted to. That's what the rules are set at.
150?
Yeah.
Is it really 150?
Yeah, that's what we're restricted to.
I'm like a genius, like a mad genius.
Yeah, no, we get pumped up and everything.
I know, Waldo
doesn't care.
Acts like I've been cruising the pits for the last 3 weeks with a notepad and a calculator. Okay, well,
so
go ahead.
He heard through the, you know, through the grapevine and through the racetrack stuff, you know, the year prior to last year, back in 99, you know, that I knew a lot, I knew my stuff about the Pinos and the racing and all that other stuff. So he asked me to come on to be his crew chief for the year 2000. So I came on. This guy had never even seen a top, maybe seven in points in the last 12 years he's been racing, okay? Last year I come on to his team. I'm his crew chief. I, you know, I work with him and stuff, and I get him into second place. We actually had first, but I get him second in the NASCAR points. And so he gets this big hit on his shoulders. So then he goes, okay, well, let's go bigger. Da-da-da. Next year, which would be this year, you know, he's like, you know, can you build me a new car? And da-da-da-da. I said, yeah. So I built him a new car, you know, and we got a good sponsor and everything, and he let me drive the old car that he drove the year prior. So I was going to go for my rookie of the year this year. We've been racing all year, and it's like, all he does, again, I guess this all I understand too from the track, is all he's ever done is whine about everything at the track. He whines about everything. If something doesn't go his way, he whines about it.
All right.
You know, and right. He takes everything.
All right, here's the deal, Walden.
How old is this guy?
He's 34.
Okay. He ain't doing a whole lot of changing.
Yeah. This is just him.
No, but here's what I want to say to Waldo and everybody. At a certain point, you realize that certain people are just sort of lemons.
I think he idealizes this guy, and he's a big sort of letdown. Yeah.
Whatever it is, he's an idiot. Get away from him. I mean, I know I'm simplifying it too much, but those of you who have horrible roommates, those of you who have horrible partners, those of you who have horrible pit crew chiefs and things like that, you got to fire him or you got to fire yourself.
But you hear the story in this? It's like, but Waldo's, I idealized this guy. I built him a car. He was, you know, he was the guy I was working for, and he's just a big whiny bastard. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's who he is. He's not the guy you thought he was. He's the guy he is.
Right. I don't beat up on Waldo.
No, I'm
saying that Waldo, if you're a magician with the wrench and you're not bad behind the wheel and you brought this guy from seventh to second overall, then other folks around the track must be aware of your skills if they're what you say they are. So it shouldn't be too hard for you to take on with somebody else. And let me tell you.
Or for yourself.
I suggest that. Do not try to change this guy. Yeah. Let's take ourselves a break. True, pretty good. I knew those things were putting out 150 horsepower.
I'm shocked.
Waldo took it in stride.
Remember that one night you picked on somebody's, picked their, like,
Profession.
Yeah,
I said to this chick, your boyfriend's still going to be working at that batting cage. He said,
that's right.
Well, maybe so, but I'm sticking with him. And I said, doesn't bother you that you didn't mention that your boyfriend was working at a batting cage? And since a lot of the folks that call in the show are more animal than human, that didn't strike her as peculiar at all. She was like, well, he works at a batting cage, genius. I'm like, yeah, but
I didn't know that.
The fact that I mentioned that he did, and you never mentioned it, and that's kind of a peculiar job. Well, anyway, can we get back to the question?
Huh?
That's exactly how it went.
All right. Well, it's okay. I'm my own audience here, Drew.
Indeed you are.
Thank you. We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Love Line will be right back.
I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. It's Love Line.
And that's Jimmy Eat World. They're coming up this week.
Tomorrow night,
yep.
Oh, this is them, yeah. Good riff. Can't go wrong with this. I like this just playing when I enter restaurants and other public places, you know. Hey, here comes Adam, everybody. I don't see him. Listen to the riff. It's got to be close. Hi, everybody. All righty. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. It's good to be back. Ready to get on the phone? Hey, how does this work? Everybody, please tell me if you can answer this question. And Drew, you may not, you don't travel with the boys like I do, but maybe Ann can identify with this. When I travel, it seems like almost half the time I'm doing something where it'd be nice to have two beds in the room because I got a buddy with me. Going to Vegas to do something. They always seem to know when you need the king bed and give you the twin beds, the two beds.
But, yeah.
And when you need the twin beds and you get the king bed and you got to bunk up with your gay bud.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They always
get that bed.
I was just in New York for a week, and how many beds were in my room that I stayed alone in?
Two.
Of course, there were two. Of course, because I had nobody with me. If I had had a buddy come with me, then we would have spent a week on a king bed, which is how I'm really going to, you know, and I think I'm going to screw with him next time. I think the way to remedy this is go, look, I'm bringing somebody with me. He's a straight male, and so am I, so it's important that we have two beds in the room. In which case, and by the way, the other bed is always going to be freed up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just enough time for you to put your stink on your bed and unpack everything. And when you got a week's worth of crap, it's like, what am I going to do, pack it up and move down eight floors? It's just like, oh, screw it. I'll just, you know, I'm not moving in.
Right.
I got another four nights here. I'll make it. That's exactly what happens.
Where'd you stay? Regal Royal.
Mr. Corolla. Oh, we're going to have a king bed that's freed up. By the way, and I don't like the concept of the bed being freed up. It means some guy's whacking off on it, right? We got a guy beating off on it right now. He says he's going to be done by noon. But he is having to mop his belly off, so let's figure 3 o'clock checkout.
You would like the sheets changed, yes?
I'm just saying, I don't like the idea of the bed being freed up. It's a weird concept.
Where'd you stay?
Stayed at the Hilton.
Oh.
Yeah, it's rough. That's rough. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, the reason I'm calling is because I did something when I was younger that is catching up to me now.
All right.
I would say when I was about 12, I molested my younger cousin.
How old was your cousin?
God, he was like 3.
Ooh, what'd you do to him?
And you said you were 12?
Yes.
All right.
And what did I do to him?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very ashamed of it.
Okay, all right. Well, just so we can assess what, you know, what's going on here.
I gave him oral.
Okay. And somebody must have molested you. That's sort of where that comes from usually. So what happened to you?
The only thing that I can think of is when I was younger, my mom took me to a babysitter, and the babysitter had an older son, and I remember that he was trying to French kiss me while I was supposed to take a nap.
Okay, so we know that he was sort of out of bounds, and God knows what else might have gone on.
How old were you at the time when you were being taken to the babysitter?
I would say about 6 years old.
Uh-huh, and the son was older.
Oh, yeah, he was like 12.
Yeah.
And how many times did you go to that babysitter?
I kind of don't remember. I just remember I went probably 3 times a week.
A lot of times.
All right. And what about the cousin? How many times did you do this to him?
Just once.
Just once.
Mm-hmm.
And how's he doing now?
Well, the reason why it's been bothering me lately is because I saw him about 6 months ago, and I saw him and I started thinking, I did this to this poor little child.
Well, what's up with him now?
He doesn't remember me. No, I think he's like 7.
7?
Yeah, he's older now, a little bit older.
Well,
he's got to be 13. It was 10 years ago.
Has it been? Well, he's a little kid. I can't even tell. I just know that when I saw him about
this, Jenny does not sweat the detail.
But what is, how is he now?
He was 3. I was 13.
He's a little small little boy. Very small. He almost looked like a midget. Very small, small, small.
But how's he doing?
Hold on. I got some news for you. Using your logic, all kids look like midgets, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, any kid under 5'9", right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, listen, baby. Is his life tatters? Is it a shambles?
No.
It's all right?
I never see him except for like 6 months ago.
All right, but is he, you know, has he got a bunch of tats and aggressive piercings at age 11?
No.
He's an okay, adjusted kid?
Yes, he's okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, he doesn't remember.
Yeah, this
he's
might
fine.
Not have had a big impact. It's possible. Just relax.
Okay.
All right, it may be okay. I'm more concerned with you and why you would do something like that and sort of managing your own emotional life. That's more of an issue right now.
You didn't do it again.
No.
And you didn't do it with anybody else.
No.
And your life has been okay with relationships?
Well, I have a boyfriend of 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
So we're 14. But they could be a sort of a life preserver.
He's 11 now.
Yeah, okay, good.
No. Hey, Jenny.
Uh-huh.
Don't beat yourself up. I wish I had an older cousin gave me a BJ when I was 3. Well, I did, but his name was Greg. Sucked.
Oh, man.
Yeah, real tough, especially when it's at his wedding. And, you know.
My main concern, though, is that I keep telling myself, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. But can I?
Yes.
Yeah, you can. But again, there's more than just that going on here. And if you want some help with that, you ought to get it.
All right, but here's the thing. You're not going to get over it by confronting this 11-year-old who doesn't remember what went on.
Leave him alone. That's not going
to
do anything.
Don't buy into that crap. Yeah. And don't listen to anyone who says, look, you got to get this off your chest.
No.
This is not some paperwork that needs to be cleared off your desk.
No.
It is not going to work that way at all. Mm-mm. You're going to dig yourself in deeper and freak the kid out more.
Mm-hmm.
The kid doesn't remember, and if he does, mazel tov. If I worked that incorrectly
yet? Yeah, now you have.
Trying to make up for the high holidays, the Jewish holidays. Jenny, you work in your own ass and forget about the cousin. Focus more on maybe what may have happened to you when you were being babysat at age 6. And don't beat yourself up and freak yourself
That's
out.
Right. That's
Thank
right.
you. Sarah?
Yeah?
What's up?
Not much. Welcome back, Adam.
Thank you.
I have a problem. I've been dating my boyfriend for 3 months now, and I got kidnapped a couple months ago, like after I started dating him. And
these people throw stuff out like yeah, and then
abducted by aliens,
and then we went out for a couple more weeks. Well, what do you mean you got kidnapped? What happened?
Okay. It's a long story, but I was taken up there and by my stepmother up against my will, and she kept me up there.
Where?
In Atlanta, Idaho.
Okay.
Is there an Atlanta, Idaho?
I didn't know that, but except for us.
We got to do something about the same naming of cities. it's a horrible plan. All right.
But, and my boyfriend's parents found out about sexual activity that's going up there between adults and minors, and they don't approve of it.
Between adults and minors?
Yeah.
Is that a code for something? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, like, there's like 14, like, my sister, she gives BJs to 22-year-olds and stuff, and,
What does that have to do with you?
Hold on, how far is Atlanta out of L.A.?
Are there any direct flights? Is that what you're asking?
Idaho.
What does that have to do with you?
I was living there at the time that this happened, and his mom thinks that I was part of it.
And how did she find out about this?
She lives up there part-time.
Oh, I see. So she knew this sort of wild bunch of teenagers in there.
Yeah, she just thinks that we run wild and that we do anything we want.
I see.
Well, she ain't too far from the mark.
Right.
How old's your sister?
14.
Oof. Ooh.
Oh, I'd like to find your dad and give him a nice, swift kick in the nuts. What prison is he in?
Well, it wasn't my dad. It was my stepmom.
Yeah, where's your dad?
Here at the house.
What kind of guy is he? Does he like to drink?
No, he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke or anything. He's against it, but I've reported it many times, and nobody's doing anything.
Reported what?
Reported the sexual activity.
Between your sister?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you report it to?
The Ada County Sheriff and everything.
Wow, good for you. All right, we're on board with Sarah a little bit, aren't we?
Sort of. And what's so evil about your stepmom? What's up with her?
Okay.
And why hasn't she been arrested for kidnapping?
Because they haven't charged her with it. That's the
Hold
problem.
Hold on, let me write that down.
I've reported it.
Yeah, well, okay, here's... Hold on a second, Sarah. Sarah's interesting. She falls into that. I want to like her, but she has a little bit of that thing that our callers suffer from, which is they act like we read the book and they're just explaining the movie to us.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact we have not seen the book.
Right.
She's talking to us like we pretty much know Sarah's scene and the scene up there in Atlanta, Idaho.
Yeah, of course the thing with the minors having sex with adults.
We're all well aware of that.
That's why everyone knows
that. She's filling in some of the details, but we know the basic overall plot structure. Sarah, keep in mind we don't know anything that's going on, so you have to speak in a little less code. I bet if you spoke to the stepmom, she would have a totally different story about why she took these kids out of where they were.
Yeah.
And usually when people who are kidnapping aren't arrested for kidnapping, it means they ain't kidnapping.
Right.
Is basically what I'm thinking. But, Sarah?
Yeah?
All right, so let's try to get things patched up with you and your boyfriend. How old's your boyfriend?
He's 14.
14.
You guys having sex?
No, I've never done anything like that before.
Okay.
Can you patch up with his parents? Can you get to know them a little better? Maybe gain their confidence?
Well, I've tried to get to know his mom's one that basically has a problem with it.
Yeah.
And I've explained to her that I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And,
oh boy, that conversation.
She started to kind of okay it, and
yeah. Forget about I don't have anything to do. Don't the conversation where the 15-year-old girlfriend comes up and goes, "The oral sex with the 22-year-old, not me. I was around the corner at the AM PM." Come on.
Well, what do you want her to do?
I want her to say, "Mrs. So and So, can I make you dinner tonight?
No.
Can I be your buddy?"
That's a more ridiculous conversation.
No, can I be of assistance tonight? Just make a friendship with her sometime.
You're not even living in the same town as them anymore, are you?
No, I'm living in New Plymouth, Idaho, and they live
in New Plymouth.
You're out in New Plymouth?
Yeah.
And what's that? That's about 75 kilometers away from Atlanta, Idaho?
Actually, it's about 105.
Christ. They moved.
Yeah, I just moved about 2 months
ago. So how can you date this guy if you're over in New Plymouth and he's over in Old Plymouth?
He's in Boise.
In Boise.
We kind of have a long-distance relationship, but we see each other on weekends.
All right.
How do you do that? Who drives?
My dad.
Okay, so your dad's doing something here.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal, Sarah. Let me give you the overall plan. What you're doing for your sister is great. Talk to your dad about your stepmom and what's going on with whatever those feelings are. Enlist your dad and stepmom and the powers that be, the sheriff and whatnot, and helping your 14-year-old sister find a little guidance. Mm. And as far as the parents of your boyfriend, this will sort itself out. Tell the boyfriend to work on them. I don't think Sarah's going to be a good spokesperson for this.
Right.
The boyfriend needs to explain to the... Listen, Mom, here's the situation over there. Here's the way I feel about Sarah. You can supervise us.
I can say, yeah.
She's going to come down on the weekend.
In the house, when the parents are around, that kind of
right.
thing.
Plus, I'm a dude. Would it kill you if I got a BJ? Come on, Ma. You want me to go gay? Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Headbanging going on in the next room. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Good to be back.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back. Yeah, I miss the kitties. Forgot what I was doing. All right, let's talk to Ryan, who's 17. Oh, I don't even believe Ryan. Ryan?
Hello.
All right, go ahead and convince us this is a true call.
So I'm going in through my parents' stuff. I need to get some socks, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's already a little too happy about this.
And there's a video in there,
mm-hmm.
right? And since you know I'm a big fan of the whole like you know movie thing with the girls and the nakedness. And
well, what did the video say on it? I mean, why did you think it was a porn?
It was blank.
All right, but it was in the sock drawer, so it was suspicious. That's right.
You know, Adam, dude, I listen to you all the time. You know,
all right.
Porn. You know, you gotta check it out. You know, I mean, I've never seen my parents really into that whole thing.
Who do you think you're talking to?
So I go to watch this thing.
Right.
And it's my parents, and I'm like, oh my god, and she's on my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like...
All right, now why... What do you want from us?
Took him 20 minutes to beat off to this, by the way.
I bet.
Yeah, it was pretty
tough. Took a few minutes off his clock.
It was tough, you know?
What do you want from us?
I don't... It's like...
Why are you calling us?
Well, I don't know. It's like, how do I...
Why are you... Well, you called us. Why are you calling us?
No, I'm asking you, like, how do I just... I can't really look at them now. Like, I can't, like, when I see my mom and everything, like, she tries to give me a kiss on the cheek or something, I don't, like, how, should I talk to them about this?
Oh.
Or should I just be like,
yeah. Now we know you're bogus.
Yeah. You need to talk to them.
That's the last thing that somebody would
occur to someone. You need an open dialogue with them. Wait till they're together and then discuss oral sex with them. Okay, Ryan?
I don't really want to do that, though.
Well, yeah, don't you got to do that.
Don't do that.
It's your only choice.
All right, and then before I go, though? Adam?
Yeah.
No. Adam, you're the man.
Thank
I've
you.
I've been listening to you guys forever.
Thank all you.
Right. And, like, Adam,
from Oklahoma, we've not been on in Oklahoma forever.
I'll leave the guy alone. He wanted to get on the air.
Yeah, I know, that's it.
This is always the most bogus thing, because it's always like he's very upset over the whole thing. Meanwhile, he's basically doing a stand-up comedy routine.
Right.
Yeah, he was not upset about anything,
and then
because it never happened.
And he's not... No purpose to the call.
Yes, beware of calls. Beware of questions that have no answer.
And
thank you. Tammy?
Yes.
You're 31. What's up?
Yes. I'm having a problem. I'm sure this is going to, you know, take it completely out of the sexual...
That's fine.
That's fine.
There we go. We're ready. Let's go.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. My son is an 8-year-old little boy that goes to a private step mode program school.
What does step mode mean?
Hell if I know. I still haven't figured that one out yet.
Okay, but you use that word as though we would know what it means. We don't know what it means.
Well, I thought maybe somebody else would. That was a joke. Ha ha.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Okay.
Slate.
Anyway, he's been going to the school since kindergarten.
Right.
He had a hard time in first grade because he had a woman there that was teaching him that, like, to yell constantly if he didn't get everything that she was teaching him.
To yell constantly.
Anyway, let's go on from there. Now he's in third grade, and he's got another teacher, and the kids have a workload I couldn't even keep up with.
No doubt.
Right, but you're a pretty good drinker, so it's not fair to have you doing that kind of work.
Excuse me?
Do you do some drinking?
Once in a while.
All right.
All right, so anyway.
Anyway, we're having this problem. Are you done yet?
We're here with
us. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, he's having this problem there where the teacher has got him overloaded with work that is just...
Just him.
Not just him, the whole class.
All right, well, that's third grade.
Okay, let me explain this a little bit better. He's in a third and fourth grade, you know, split class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh,
well, give me an example of what his evening load is.
English?
No, what does he have to do in an evening?
Oh, well, I'm trying to explain that to you. He has English, phonics.
What does he have to do in an evening? Not what are the subjects?
In an evening, he has to do dictionary skills.
What does he have? What would one of his evening lessons look like? What would they be?
About 2 hours long.
All right. Was that bad? That
with
sounds
mommy
like
helping and daddy helping too.
Sounds like too much for me. You drop him out. You kick him. Where are you calling from? Riverside.
Yeah.
They got a public school system over there where they sign no homework. Send him to one of those schools. Let him get a good education.
I know we're pulling him out on Monday, but yet I'd like to find a way where I can talk to the principal of the school, which this woman has no personable.
All right, hold on a second,
hang
Tammy.
I want to just scream at
Tammy. Calm down, Drew. Oh, quiet down over there. Listen, Mary Poppins, I know you have a difficulty with a lot of the folks that come in contact with your son. I'm sure they have some difficulty with you.
No doubt.
As well.
No, actually,
Tammy, just listen. Just listen.
I'm saying that as easy as it is for you to have some contempt for these people that are in your son's life, they may have that toward you maybe 10 times over. At least that's the vibe I'm getting.
Okay, well, you have that one wrong, because I usually play the game until they started really screwing with him really, really bad. And that's why I wanted to talk to Drew and not you.
Well, what about everyone else in the class, wise ass? How are they getting done? How are they getting through with the work?
Well, let's see. My son's the only boy in the third grade class.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
So what?
Well.
What does that mean? But what does that mean?
It means that, I mean, he's not getting the attention that he needs. Everybody in that class is all girls.
So what?
Okay, let me explain something to you also. With this school, by third grade, there's no boys in there.
Yeah, Tammy, here's the deal. Your son's being given...
Hold on a
given
second. No boys. Well, now that's a shocking revelation.
No.
That totally
what
changes.
What I'm trying to tell you is that the boy ratio drops by third grade. All the parents, you know, take their kids out of there. If they're boys, they're gone.
Well,
there are not.
The idea
by the
here...
time they graduate from, you know, the eighth grade, because it only goes up to eighth grade, there's like maybe two boys in the eighth grade class.
All right, hold on. Listen, this Tammy, these are the people I loathe in life. They're perpetually annoyed. It's always someone else's fault.
Right.
There's a big conspiracy theory.
Yes, that's
right.
And
the conspiracy theory is really against them,
yeah,
except for their child becomes them,
yes,
that they leave out in the world, and it becomes a little annex to them.
It becomes a colony of them. And here's the sad thing. This kid's being afforded this wonderful opportunity for higher education, and she's going to sabotage the S out of that. I mean, that's the reality, is that if your kid's going to compete in a very, very competitive world of education, he's going to be working his ass off from now until he's 28. Working his ass off.
Right. I mean, just like I did.
No, if that's where she wants him to compete. If not,
yes,
take him out. But he has an opportunity. He may be up to it. They're not telling you that he's not up to it. They're telling you to push him along,
right,
and let him do his thing, and you're going to sabotage that. So enjoy.
Well, Tammy's thing is he's being singled out, except for the whole class has to do the same workload.
Of course.
And what a shocking revelation that she doesn't approve of the principal who she may have to have a conversation with. I'm guessing there's not too many people in Tammy's life that she approves of.
Well, not anyone that gives her anything that makes her frustrated or upset.
That's right.
Then there absolutely must be taken care of and moved out of her life.
We have now added ourselves to that very long list of people that Tammy is frustrated with.
Yes.
But Tammy, you signed him up for that school, so
I think it's wonderful that he's in it, and she'll get a lot worse.
If you don't like him, send him to public school. Look at me. I went to public school.
My kids do about an hour 15 a night.
And I'm literally a millionaire. Literally. Literally.
Think got that in you.
Yeah, everybody. There you go. Good to be back. Going to be back with Jimmy Eats Chachi.
Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, Jimmy Eat World. That's right.
And then Cypress Hill and Deftones.
All right. All this week. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. Ta-da-da!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.